Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Integrity in Action, live on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, monthly on the third Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. This is your opportunity to listen live with host Lois Shulman, empowerment coach, facilitator, and public speaker of Integrity Action, LLC. She will interview with sensitivity, unconditional love, and without judgment, individuals who have chosen to exemplify the highest levels of ethical principles, sound moral character, and honesty. Each month, a featured guest will share their story. These interviews will give listeners an opportunity to feel the passion and emotion of the person being interviewed, as well as inspire listeners to entertain a new perspective from which to expand their own understanding. When this occurs, we move beyond the limitations of our current thinking to heal and become more aware, awake, and expansive. And now I give you your host, Lois Shulman.
It's a pleasure to be here. Welcome to my first podcast on Body, Mind, and Spirit Radio. I'm excited and nervous and appreciate the opportunity to speak to all of you. Every morning as my mind comes awake, I seize the moment to affirm that I am grateful for my health to enjoy another day. I affirm that I will strive to be the best I can be, and I affirm my intention to be open to the miracles all around me. One of the greatest miracles I know is the existence of each of us on this beautiful planet Earth. Collectively, we're known as the human race. Interacting with a person, acknowledging the gift that they bring to me, brings me great joy. Every month, I will bring you along with me as I interview in conversational style a person or persons I have met. This month of January, I have come to the warm, loving, embracing, happy home of Doris Jean Colbreth to interview first. And to interview her in the first month of 2017, because it was her words, oh so many years ago, that first ignited a spark that lit the flame that empowered me to go forward to discover the possibility of a life full of peace and contentment inside of myself. This flame warms me to this day. The flame may flicker, but it will never burn out. Doris gifted me that day with her message of forgiveness. Doris, I would love for you to tell me the story of that day through your eyes.
As a friend, hello and how are you? As a friend and a employee at a place that Lois did patronize, to my stunning thought, she came in very distraught, and I was in no position to school her or to give her any advice. But what she was experiencing at the time saddened me, so I listened. And the story that she told me, that she was so very angry, and believe me, she was emotional with the anger. It was not staged. It was not a fraud. But it touched me. It moved me because she was such a sweet person that I had met there, and we had conversed many, many times on many levels. This one really surprised me, that she was so angry that she wanted to hate. And it stopped me in my tracks because I couldn't believe this sweet, docile kind of lady was going to say she hated. And we talked. It took a minute to even consider trying to purge that thought from her mind, but I did remind her that hate was a very strong emotion. I did say that to her. And she did explain to me why her feelings were such and the reason for her anger and what caused it. And at that moment, not willing to let it go, not willing to surrender and say, okay, I can move past this. And it got very deep for her. And the only thing I could suggest at the time when I met Lois was, think about it. It's another side to the story. One, because you don't want to hate. One, that is not in your nature. And you should go and have a conversation. I really didn't feel in my heart I'd done very much at all because I felt her pain and I wanted to really be of help to with her pain, not the person that caused the pain, but her anguish, her pain that she was feeling. It saddened me because it showed me that Lois had a very tender love for her dad and was very protective of that love and didn't want to see him hurt by any means. Really, that's the beginning and the end of the whole thing, except for her growth. And that's something Lois chose. It wasn't me. It was what she brought to me, what she said to me, and how I responded. But for such a beautiful personality as a butterfly, Lois had to make a decision within herself that I cannot live like this. I cannot be like this. So that's not me, and that's not what I want. So she took the next step of courage. It takes courage to forgive, a lot of courage to forgive. And you think about the situation, and you try to view it a little differently. You have to see the other side or think of the other person involved, because if it's in human contact, there's always going to be a disagreement. There's always going to be a time when you're angry at someone. That's human nature. But you have to ask yourself deep down, am I really like this? Can I really be unforgiving? My feeling about unforgiving, if I don't forgive, if I sincerely do not forgive with all my heart and allow the person that has harmed me to know, I've moved past it, I can forgive you, I feel like it makes me old. And I don't like that. I want to be carefree. As a child, I was very carefree. Raised with all boys, I got a chance to speak my mind and be a roughneck too. But I knew in my heart, if I said I loved you, I had to forgive you on every level, from my mom, which we had a very cantankerous relationship, to my brothers, and to this day, we still have that chasm between us, but I forgive them. I don't forget a lot of things, and maybe that's part of what we must do too, is to bury it, toss it in the sea of forgiveness forevermore. And that is what I feel like conveyed to Lois that day as a friend, as someone that she'd spoken to in the past and shared things with. But to forgive is to love, and you can never love if you don't forgive. You must move forward with forgiveness and tenderness in your heart toward it. And you will grow. It causes you to grow. It causes you to have a sense of well-being. It causes you to not have to reconsider what you would say in the next event. You have to move past it, and that's how I live. With my children, which I've fallen out completely with, but I fall back in because I love them, and they're women now, and they're mothers, and I have to realize they're entitled to whatever upsets them too, and I have to listen. I found as I grow older, listening has become a very important process for me, to listen, to hear what people are saying. And when you listen to what they're saying, you almost can feel the anguish sometimes that they're experiencing. And you say to yourself, it's really not me. It really isn't me. Let me help this person by showing them compassion and forgiveness and love and moving past whatever they may have caused me as an inconvenience or saddened me. I don't like sadness. I really don't like sadness. And to be angry and not forgive is to keep you in a state of sadness.
So after we had that conversation,
yes,
that moment in at the business where we were together,
yes,
I immediately went out, called the person that I was very upset with and hurt by and angry, asked if I could come over to speak to him, and he said yes. So I went. And the point that you brought up just now is that I listened to him. When I got there, I told him my feelings, and then I said, he said to me, actually, he said, do you want to hear my side of the story? And I sat back and I said, yes. And I had to consciously control my emotions and open my heart and listen to what he was saying.
And what gave me great joy is that you came back within days and said to me, I went and I spoke to him and I conveyed my feelings, and we were able to resolve the hurt that I was harboring and building in my heart for this person, because that really is not me. And that's how I felt when you came back and said to me, Doris, I went and I had a conversation with him. And I said, and all is well.
And the really cool part is, because of how you talk to me, about forgiveness. When I went there, my intention was to forgive. So at the end of listening to him say what he said, I still had on my tongue, I remember, the but. Well, you didn't do this. The argumentative in myself. And I said to myself, no. Doris said, I've coming to forgive, and that is what I've come here to do, and that's what I'm going to do. So in that moment, I said, I forgive you. I said, whenever we meet in public, I will be cordial and nice and will never bring this up again and will never keep it inside of me again. So that forgiveness, even saying it in that moment, I knew that it was going to be a practice, something that I had to keep doing. But when I walked out into the sunshine, I remember leaving the office building and going, oh, my gosh. It was like the heavens had opened, and that courage, that confidence was like, I did this.
Your defense mechanisms were working that day, Lois. You were angry. And when you left and came back, you decided you were going to deal with your defense mechanisms on the basis of hearing the other side of the story. You were so angry. Sometimes love will make us angry, too. Make us very personal and angry because you were hurt because someone else was hurt that you truly love. And for a minute, it was kind of hard for me to grasp because that was your father on the basis of he's a full-grown man with a full-grown daughter. But it was your father. It was personal. It had become much greater than what it really was because you did make it personal. And you were hurt, and you had every right to be. But you also had every right to find out the origin of it. And that was to go back to the gentleman who had caused you the pain and share with him the pain so he would understand that you had pain from this and you needed his help to rectify it. And forgive.
A large part of that forgiveness is listening to the other person.
Absolutely.
And quieting your mind, because in my mind I heard voices of anger saying, but you did this. And I had to quiet those voices in order to hear.
But those voices were your defense mechanism, because you were elevated to a point when you talked to me. And an anger that was really scary because I had never seen you like that. And I talked to you on many occasions at that very desk about life and the children and exercising and how was your day and what we had kind of heard in the news. And you were coming for an hour to do your routine. And you were just a pleasant face to come through the door for me at that place because you acknowledged me as a human being that you could have a conversation with. And I really appreciated that because I felt useless there for a number of reasons. And one was I was out of my element, and I was just, nobody noticed me. And the person that really noticed me one day, it really shocked me. I was in front of the business office, the business counter there, the control desk. And I got a dustpan and a broom and started sweeping up the popcorn because they'd had a tennis tournament and the kids left a big mess. And behind me, this gentleman walked up and he said, who are you? I said, well, I'm Doris from the control desk. And who are you, sir? I'm Rick Brode. I'm the owner. I'm the commander-in-chief. He says, but you know what? I commend you, young lady. And I was thrown off my game when he said that because in my heart, in my emotions, the thing to do was, this is our home. Present it. And I went and I cleaned the popcorn up. I just find forgiveness to be a very easy thing for me. I can't equate this for everyone. I wish I could. I wish everyone that I encounter can say, I've been angry, I've loved, I've had disappointments, but I can forgive it. I can move past it. And boy, if we could do that, we'd have a pretty terrific world here.
So you say this is part of you, but there must have been some moment where you learned this, something in your past.
No, I have been a cheerful kid all my life. I've always had the courage to laugh at put-downs. I always have. I can't explain it. I find humor in put-downs. I find that, oh, you challenge me for my who I am and how I am? Okay, I have to show you. I forgive you. you're foolish mortal, and I move on. And I really, really mean that. Because if I don't, I know I'm having a relationship with you through anger that would last a very long time if you don't correct it. And it's true. If you are angry with someone and you can't forgive them for what they did, every time you see that individual, it's going to give you that same horrible rush from day one that you experienced when you were hurt by that individual. So what do? You ask yourself, can I go and apologize, or can he apologize to me and make it better? Or can I pray in my heart and say, look at it for what it really is and listen to what happened and forgive it. Forgive it. For me, it works because it's just easy. It doesn't always work for the person I'm involved with, because some people want to harbor bitter and anger and disappointment. But I think it's very easy to just let it go and say to yourself, this was an experience in your life with an individual, and you don't have to stay there. Life moves on. Things change. Situations change. And people change. I also find when people that do hurt me or have disappointed me or criticized me or beat me up really bad, I always come into their presence again and they're not doing well. And that's not something that I would wish on them, but they stop and say, you used to be that spark I would run into every now and then, and this truly is the truth. And how are you doing? And can we get together? I have a lot of acquaintances and zero friends. Because in my world, and I'm out there, I'm always looking for the best in people. I get turned off now because I'm a good morning and hello and how are you kind of person. Part of it has been from employment, but part of it is my spirit. When you speak to people, you bring out the best in them. When you hold the door for people and they're looking ominous because they don't want to trust you or they think you want to be rude, I'm not that. Where I shop at, I know everyone from the produce department to the meat department because I have gratitude and I appreciate these people. I don't know where it came from. You've asked me this question many times. But in my heart, and I sometimes think you can't go by your heart. It will deceive you. But in my heart and mind combined, we're all of the same walk of life, as Lois did mention, of the human race. And the few differences that we do have and do experience, they're nothing compared to the greatness that we are as human beings, and that is to love one another and forgive one another. It's easy. It doesn't cost anything, nothing. That's what's so glorious to me about forgiveness. It doesn't cost anything.
Maria, was there ever a moment in time where you had a situation where it was more of a struggle for you to bring forth that forgiveness of somebody?
You know, Lois, and to be honest, I have to say no. It's never been a struggle.
Wow.
And I think part of it is, I've rehashed this many times in my life. When my son died, he was 34 years old. He had a heart attack in his sleep, at home, in his bed. I had to admit one thing to myself, and it took me a while. It was almost like, not a challenge, but I had to admit that I was not in control. I had to keep telling myself, you are not in control. You have no control over life, death, forgiveness, whatever. And it took me about 30 days to really come to grips with that attitude until I met my own albatross 30 days after my son passed away to be diagnosed with breast cancer. That was a struggle, but I faced it head on, and I told the surgeon that was going to do the surgery, let's do it. Within a week, it's like a bad tooth. Let's get it done. And the week came and I had the surgery, and I had to go in another week and have another surgery on top of that one. But I let the cancer go on the basis of, we can remove this and we'll be okay. We will not think about it. We will not wallow in it. And, of course, my daughters wanted to. Even my oldest daughter came up with a some type of treatment that she brought to the doctor and sat down and talked to him about for her mother. But I had the challenge of courage, forgiveness, strength, love, compassion. And believe me, when I had my surgery, my girls were not really compassionate. They said, get up and make your own breakfast. And they did. But it's just easy. It might be a simple thing to say that it's easy, but we must forgive. If we don't forgive, as I once heard, it was to be dead yourself.
So have you ever had a circumstance where you had to forgive yourself? I find that I'm very hard on myself when I do things that I am ashamed of or don't like. It's difficult for me to forgive myself. Now I've learned to practice how to forgive others, but forgiving myself, I have to work.
Well, I think it's a growth thing. I used to let things bug me that I knew, Doris, you really shouldn't have done that or you shouldn't have said that. And I rehash it and I think, you know what? We are foolish mortals. And sometimes we happen to make mistakes or say things or hurt people or situations that you really, really never thought you were doing that or hurting someone. Can you apologize? Or you have a conversation about it. And if they're still angry and hurt and bitter, I allow them. I want them to take the time to go and really think about it. Really think about what happened and what was said. Because I personally have to move on. I can't hold on to it to appease your anger. And I will ask you to forgive me. I have to do it all the time, especially with my daughters. And they're very critical of me. Well, Mom, you want to see it your way. I just talked to Lizette, and she was, Mom, you're looking at it one way, but it can be looked at a different way. And you're right. I think part of that, too, early on was the fact that I'm Mom. What I say goes. But I had to realize that my children took a lesson from a teacher. They have all. And I am just so grateful that my daughters do seek forgiveness. Because the crushing blow for me, Lois, was last year when me and my youngest daughter were not communicating at all. And I prayed and prayed about it. And I finally decided I have to let her sulk it out. Just sulk until you're over it and you're done. And I really didn't do anything to her, but I challenged her motherhood, she felt. And I never intended to do that. And I apologized to her, and I said, I even prayed for forgiveness, Lisa. I want you to forgive me, and I've asked God to forgive me. And that did not do it. It took some growth on her part to sit back and say, this is really silly. And part of it was I was going to be a grandma again, and I think it was just the pregnancy that made her so grouchy with baby number 7, which we adore her. But no, she said, Mom, I love you. I'm sorry, and please forgive me. And I'm like, hey, forgive you for what?
So how long did that take between the anger and her forgiving you? Because what I find in life is when you're able to relax and let something go, in time it seems to work itself out most.
I wish I had the time or I had thought of it to pull out a Mother's Day card she gave me about the very thing. And the card says, I get it. I get it. I understand why you want this, this, and this, and why you do this, this, and this. Verbatim, I can't pull it out of my brain. I had to read it over and over again. She got it. She found a card to tell me, Mom, you were right, and I apologize. I am strong because of you.
So this was a card she gave you after she forgave you from all this? Or?
Yes, from Mother's Day.
Wow.
She did. She presented me with them. And I have them. Lois, I have every greeting card since I was almost 16. I collect greeting cards. Because when I receive a greeting card from someone, I've got them everywhere too, believe me. The ones that really make a difference is when they really move my heart. I've gotten cards that have touched my very soul from people that I never, ever thought that they felt the way they felt about me. If they come and talk with me and be a part of my life or just delighted to see me. So I was always a ray of light to some people. And when you work in the public, which I have in many places, in many situations, I worked in an all-men's store for 13 years. And it was very difficult at first, like Dinapala, because men always have this impression that you're shopping. And I was happily married and shopping for nothing. And my supervisor said to me one day, he's going to walk through that front door and knock you sleep up. No, they're always customers. And one minister said to me after my first week, he said, wow, they want the bees. They had to bring the honey, referring to me. I looked at him. I was really perplexed by that because that was never what I intended to be in this men's store. I intended to do a good job, earn my keep, and I lasted 13 years. But in the meantime, the gentlemen in this store, the customers would come, and they literally fell in love with me. They brought their wives, their daughters, their sons from as far away as Ann Arbor, Jackson, Kalamazoo, all over the state for me to dress their children.
So what do you think about you made people fall in love with you?
Just open. Just gravitate to them. Just be yourself. I have a motto. The easiest person to meet in the world is a stranger. I really believe that.
I guess, yeah.
And that is because you know nothing of them, and they know nothing of you. It's almost like first impression. What do you present to the world? What do you give of yourself that you would meet people for the very first time? What do you want them to take away from you? My last daughter, I had a chance to have baby service. And the gentleman that delivered my diapers was an Italian, tall, handsome man, very mean, very abrupt, and would throw the diapers on the porch because you had this little container and you'd leave it for them. He brought my diapers for about 9 months.
I have a question. Were these cloth diapers?
Cloth diapers.
So you left him dirty diapers.
Yes, but they were.
He took them.
Yes, and he brought me.
Brought you clean.
Yes,
okay.
He did. And we started talking, and I think the conversation was over lasagna. I have a knack for talking to people, very short conversation, and touching on something that they bring up or enjoy, whether it's travel or food or kids or fun or parents or age or ailment. And I clue in on that. We talked about lasagna. And over the period of time of this man coming to my house, and it's a very interesting story, he brought me a recipe for lasagna from his wife. And I tried it. And when he was leaving the job, he said to me, when I started delivering your diapers, I was prejudiced. He said that to me.
Yeah.
He said that. I was prejudiced. And I looked at him. I said, oh, no, not you. I've always greeted people. Oh, no. And he hugged me and he left the diaper service. And, Lois, I started working on Orchard Lake and 13 Mile Road at Dinapala. And there's a big Echo Hardware in the next block.
Yeah, yeah.
I went in that hardware store, went to the paint department to get something, and lo and behold, there was my diaper service man. He had retired and started working part-time at that hardware store. The nicest guy. I really wish I could remember his name. But it lifts my spirit to the heavens that this man said to me he was prejudiced until he met me. He really said that.
So I sort of look, listening to that, I sort of look at each of us as ambassadors for our culture, for our whatever faith we have. Because human beings, prejudice comes from our personal experiences in life. right? Babies are not born with prejudice.
No, they are not. But then again, I think some people won't interpret that word properly. And I really believe for him that was the case. But Irene Zimmerman, as I was just saying to you, I just lost my train of thought. It was very important. She said to me, girls' night out at the Holiday Inn, at the club, at the bar, on a Friday night having a Guinness Stout. Irene taught me how to drink Guinness Stout, very German beer, and you drink it warm. She says, oh, Doris, my dear friend, you should be the black ambassador. And I said, Irene, your drinks are cut off. I love Irene Zimmerman. I hope she's listening to this channel. They're my family of love. I love them all. I know all of the daughters, and one I have not met, and that was Susie, and she lives in Indiana. I have not had the pleasure of meeting her after 20 years, but I do know the other children personally. I was late for Heidi's wedding, and I got to this church over on Novi Road, and I ran in. I said, is this Heidi Zimmerman's wedding? Yeah. And Heidi turned around and gave me a kiss. I made it. I love people, Lord. I mean, to surmise how I feel, I love people. I don't care who you are, where you come from, what your affiliates are, what your nationality is. As long as you don't hit me or mistreat me, I love people. And if I'm wrong for saying this and it's too simple for most people to understand, so be it. But I genuinely love people. I'm a people person. I like being around people. I like talking and conversing. And I wind up everywhere I go. I went to a pool party once at the Village Inn with my sister. And it was about fashion and design. Before I left, they thought I was a designer. Oh, my God. I mean, just out of conversation is our bridge to humanity. We will know everything it is to know about one another if we converse and communicate and trust and talk. And in almost my 70 years, I've had a lot of people tell me they were really disliking and disgruntled to groups. But you have to take everyone as individuals. You can never take humanity as a group because you affect every person that you meet on a daily basis. This morning, this afternoon, I promised the kids burgers, and I went to a burger stop. And the lady ahead of me, she had a cane, a large cup, and a bag of food trying to get through the door. And I said to her, well, just hold it, ma'am, just a moment. I said, let me get the door for you. And the manager was coming out of the building. He was leaving, too. He said, oh, I'll get it for her. She turned around, and she says, oh, thank you. I said, what are you thanking me for? Your hands are full. Someone should get the door. And I really feel like that. You have to give it in order to receive it. If you don't give it, you don't receive it. It's a part of forgiving. It's a part of love. What you send out is what you get back. And I get it back tenfold. I really do. I'm so blessed and grateful and thankful for the personality or the DNA from my dad or whatever it is that has made me the person that I am. I don't let my family, because my mother used to call me a phony. That was so funny. That's another incident. We used to go all the time to Jacobson's over on Michigan Avenue. Love the store. Raised my daughters in that store. And when I walked in Jacobson's on Michigan Avenue, everyone knew me. And there was a sales lady in the sales shoe department, and her name was Doris. And a black woman, Doris and I became very close. I would go upstairs to the children's department, and I met Sophie. And when my mother would go with me, she says, oh, you're such a phony. I said, I'm not a phony. I laughed at my mom when she called me a phony that day. I said, why would you call me a phony? Oh, you're just chipping with everybody. I said, but that's who I am. That is who I am. My mother's a very close, personal person. And I forgive her for that, Lois, because I feel like it's the generational thing that she's still in her mind in of the 30s or the 20s in the South and what she went through as an individual. But that's not me.
But what about your father?
My father was delightful. My father was a Casanova rebel rouser. I mean, after their separation, that's what I saw of my dad. I think he was kind of a Casanova, but he was so outgoing. And another event that was very sad when my dad passed, the service was on Dexter at McCall's funeral home, and they had got through, which they, black people, they show the body, and they had closed the casket, and a man came in, and he went all the way to the front of the church, and he laid on the casket, and he cried, and they called my father Rabbit. He said, "Rabbit, you left me. I was trying to get here. I was trying to get here." My father befriended every scallywag in the world. He would feed, he would shelter, he would share, he would give his last to people. And I used to go to my father's and I would say to him, "Oh, you're running a boys' club in the basement or what, Dad?" "Well, he didn't have any place to go." And it's okay. They're my friends. He was retired, and he was by himself, so he just collected friends, but they never forgot him. And Lois, my father was interned on Valentine's Day. We left going to the cemetery, and it snowed, Chet, and it snowed so bad. But after we left the cemetery, the sun came out. It was a bright, sunny Valentine's Day, and we drove back into the city, and we went and we celebrated. We had the biggest celebration for my father. He had a lot of people that loved him. The position was on Dexter from Claremont to Fullerton.
And how old were you then?
When Dad died, I was about, because Lizette was born, and she was born in 75. I was about 28. I would say 28.
So as I listened to you talk,
I've grown.
You came by this because of your father, because of watching the man he was.
You know, that to some degree, yes, but I also had to live with an experience how my mother put my father down. Mm-hmm. And it used to bother me. So finally one day I realized, there's two sides to a story, and I will never hear her side because she was so bitter and she didn't want us to know the side. She wanted to condemn him, and all the time, I think it was her, because the gentleman that she's married to now, very nice gentleman, I respect him. I respect him for respecting my mom and loving my mom and being there with her and for her for 50 years. She was dating this man, and it was unbeknownst to anybody. So, you know, it is another side. It's always another side. And to add insult to injury, I've always read the newspaper, especially the lawn ads, the classified. And in Detroit at that time, the Detroit Times newspaper, we had the Detroit Times, and I remember it was exactly the Detroit Times. I read all the publishments for marriage license. They always publish that in the paper.
Oh, my God. I have never heard of anybody doing that. Usually it's obituary.
Oh, no. I read the marriage license.
Oh, my God. Do they still publish
it? No. They used to. It was in the time.
Oh, my God.
And I read there, and I saw my mother's name, whole middle and last name. They had applied for a marriage license, her and her husband, and I called her up. I was an adult. I was a young adult when that happened. And I said to my mom, "Congratulations. You would have thought I had shot her." She was so angry with me. She was furious. It was like, "None of your business. You're not." I said, "But Mom, it's in the paper. They published it. I saw it in the paper." And that's when they married. They had applied for it. We knew nothing of that. My mother is that kind of person, and I think that's what she resents about me. I'm not a closed person.
So was there any forgiveness that had to take place there when you found out she was getting married? Did you have to go through a process there?
No, I was too young. It was funny. It was laughable to me on the basis of, "Hey, I think it's fantastic. Congratulations." I really did. That's how I responded to her anger, was, I just called to congratulate you. You know, it is what it is. You cannot hide the truth. And that's another word, Lois, that for me, after my husband died, I started to study. And I really wasn't sure what I wanted to study with where. I needed something, I guess, to take up that void in my mind and help me move past death. I did not want to stay there. I did not like it. I did not like being in a state of flux because of John's death. Now, granted, it was traumatic, and that's because he passed away in my face, in my house, in my bed. But I had to focus. I had to change my focus to change my future, and that was to move on past this because it inevitably will come to all of us. And John was such a strong guy, he would say, well, if anything, if I find out anything wrong, don't tell my family. Huh? I had to tell his family. I had to tell the world. I even put it on Facebook because he was a Facebook patron, and I put it under his heading that my husband has since passed to let the world know he's no longer with us. And it was just, I had to do that. I had to grow. And to be honest, my first book of growth was the Bible. I really did. I went, I watched, I listened, I ordered. I got so involved. Not that I'm a saint, a holier than thou. I just needed to hear some truth. I needed some real truth about life and practicality. And my brother Ralph always says to me, you know the Bible is your basic instructions before leaving earth. Where did you get that from, Ralph? It's B-I-B-L-E, your basic instruction before leaving earth.
I've never heard that.
My brother Ralph.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I love my brother Ralph. He works at the Veterans Hospital.
The basic instruction
before leaving earth. Yes, that's what it's spelled.
Wow, an acronym.
Yes, and you know, it worked for me.
Wow.
I can't say it's going to work for everybody. I've seen people so angry that they can't move and forgive. I just throw up my hand. I said, because when you're ready to move past this, when you're ready to move on, you will do that. Nobody can force you to move on. I didn't force you to move on. I just asked Lois to look at it from a different perspective because your pain was so great that day. You were so angry that day. And you wanted to call him, and you got loud. We were standing near the little Sneakers restaurant, and you got loud, and you got infuriated, and you really didn't even want to go and put on your workout clothes and work out. You just needed to vent that. And after you vented that to me, and who am I to tell you how to feel and think? Because I hardly knew you other than the pleasantries we passed when you came into the business.
So, Ed, let me ask you, do you ever approach people that don't want your advice? And do you ever make a mistake in trying to guide somebody?
I don't ever try to guide anyone. I listen. And I act upon what you're telling me. Because I find a lot of people tell you things that they really need to share, want to share, good thing or bad thing. If you listen, you will hear their cries. Sometimes their cries for attention or sentiment, but sometimes people need to reach out and they are trying to figure out how to do this, how to go in this realm, how to reach out. Because I'm gloomy because of these things. I'm unhappy because of this. Or I'm not satisfied with this. But you have to stop and say, okay, are you listening to yourself? Are you saying to yourself, self, why am I going to stay angry? Where I live, I had to do a check and balance on the young lady that works here. And she infuriated me so bad, I stopped and I looked at her and I said, do I have to escalate this over your head? She said, oh, no, I'll take care of it. I said, okay. Thought about how she's in her 40s, she's young as my children, so I thought about it one day. I said, oh, You know, you're going to live here. And Tony is really a nice young lady. So what do you need to do? I said, well, what I really need to do is just pop into the business office and say hello and how are you doing? And that discrepancy that we were sparring around, it's gone. How are you doing? And her mother adores me. Her mother came here and said, we do not want you to go. I told her I was going to move. But she said, no, please don't. I said, we really like you. We want you here. Lois, I have met everybody that moved in on every floor. I saw my Asian friend this morning, Miss Chow. She lives on the fourth floor. And she gave me a New Year's hug. What are these things for? What are our lips and our vocal and our heart and our mind and our being and our the light and the spirit of the person? Jenny just said that. My daughter said that to me. Mom, what is my purpose here? And I've come to the belief that my purpose here is to leave a trail of stardust when I leave people. I've gone to events and parties and activities and wound up the center of attraction, and I don't know why. But whatever they espouse, you listen. You listen, and you say, well, how did you pursue that, or how did you handle that, or did you get past that? You just take it and I went to a party once. And it's in your neck of the woods, Lois, but it was on a street near Bell Road, and it was in the dead of winter, and it was a very ideal. I've had so many wonderful experiences in life now that you got me thinking about it. I worked in a wallpaper store on Grand River in Southfield. And this Caucasian family came in and bought a lot of paper. But the mother of the son would come, and she had some particular items that she just wanted to do it. She'd come and I helped her with the wallpaper, and we went through the books and the catalogs. And she made several trips, and she said she was living with the children, and she wasn't very happy about it. And it just ebbed and flowed until one Saturday she came in, or Friday that week, and she said to me, I'm going to a party. Would you like to go with me? And I was floored. I said, okay, what kind of party is it? And I think it was New Year's. And she said, it's in Southfield near Bell Road. I really wish I could remember this lady's name. I went to the party. I drove my car. I picked her up in North Rosedale, had her son out, helped her to my car, got her in, and we got to the party. The house was really different because it had like cobblestone kitchen floors or slate or whatever. It was very obscure. They were bougie, if that's an expression I can use, but they were all socialites. And I went, and I met this gentleman. He had blonde hair and blue eyes. And he came to me. He said, I want to say something to you. Everybody was having a social. It was a social party. It was not a pick-up and dance. He said, I need to say something to you. I said, what is it? He said, you know, I'm really black. And I looked at him. He did. Honestly, this is not a made-up. I've had some events in my life that have truly rocked my world. And then the guest star coming and saying he was just a little intoxicated. He talked to me so long, Lois, he started to weep. He said, we hide the fact that a lot of us out here are really black people, but we hide it. I said, well, you know, it's nice to know that about you. I said, I hope that's a part of you that you can appreciate. And really it was, because he was trying to express to me that this is something I've always swept under the rug. Okay, I can't sweep mine under the rug, okay? So it's okay. And all the host came to me and said, oh, don't listen to him. He's drunk. He's drunk. And I thought about it. And I brought my old lady back home. It was on a very steep hill because we were flat trying to get in the car. And I took her back to her home. And she hugged me, and we talked. I usually bond real well with seniors, really, really well. I think sometimes their heart is looking for tenderness. They're reminiscing things. They just want conversation. They just want someone to pay attention to them openly. And I kind of gravitate to that because everybody needs companion, conversation. Who said that to me today? We all, the lady at the dealership, pretty young lady, she's breaks up the rental cars. Let me get my train of thought here. How you been? How you doing? And they loaned me a 2017 to come home in while they were repairing my car today. She said, I'm good. I said, how are the children? This is a Caucasian young lady. She's about 45, tall like you, stacked like a brick house. And she was so glad to see me. She had on this dark eyeliner and the 44-year-old thing now, the dark makeup and the dark lipstick. It's like, you're too pretty for this, but I didn't comment. And we just got to, I said, how are the children? She said, oh, they're coming along. And she said, didn't the holidays go real fast? I said, they really did, didn't they? And I look forward to December 23rd because that was our last day at school, and I'm thinking I got 2 weeks of R&R. She said, yeah, it went very fast. I said, so how's everything? And I said, well, you know, I'm dealing with all kinds of situations, and we got on the color thing, and she said, honey, let me tell you, when we bleed, we all bleed red blood. So very true. And then she turned around and said to me, well, I'm dating this black guy. And I'm like, that's very good. Do you. You know, and I really feel, Pete, we all have to do you. You do you, and I'll do me. And I think that's what makes the world go round. But when you sit in judgment and you strike out, or you belittle, or you have your hang-ups about mankind, you're a foolish mortal, and you have to change. If you want to be happy, you have to change. I've come to that. I have a dear, dear friend, and I'm going to call him tomorrow. Lord, please let Ben still be on the planet. He's a window trimmer, from the old element of window trimmers. And when he stopped trimming for us, he was 94, and he lives right near Franklin, that little circle of apartments. I love Ben, and I'm going to call Ben. I have his number. But it's just give it. Give it, Lord. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost a cent. We don't spend a dime to be forgiven and forgive and to love and to share. It costs. It's freer than water.
So what I, because we're coming to the,
okay.
Believe it or not, we're coming to the close.
Oh, bless your heart.
But I just want to share that when you gave me the gift of making that suggestion to me and I acted upon it, it became a whole way of life for me because I, like you, when I listen to you talk, you want to be happy inside. So for me to be happy inside and I have a love of people like you do.
Well, our birthdays are a day apart.
Right.
Come on.
Right. But you talk about the gentleman, the Italian that came to your door.
Yes.
You listen
my
to them.
My diaper guy.
Right, but you love people in a way that you listen to them, you observe, and you think in your mind, and this is how I live my life too, how can I value and lift up the person that I'm talking to?
Yes.
I love making people happy.
Well, I've moved past making people happy. I'm older than you, and I've just decided you can't make people happy.
True.
That's a futile job. You can't do it. What you have to do with people, from my perspective, is you have to look and listen. And most people tell you their pain in one way or another.
Yeah.
They let you know a disappointment. They let you know a pain. I have a dear friend at the school. I love her, Donna. Her daughter is in Israel, and Donna is so heart-torn that her daughter does not want to communicate with her. And we hugged. When I see Donna, she's older. She's, I'm up and down, I might be 80. But we hug, and how are you today? I'm fine. I love you, Donna. She said, I love you too, girl. I've been trying to find out or find the words to help her look at her daughter's situation. But she says her daughter demands that she buy her a house, and she demands this, and she demands that, and she hasn't seen her grandchildren. And I said, Donna, you're going to have to forgive her and understand your only child. I had to tell my own mother, Lois, I'm going to say this, and I will be fine. I had to say to my own mother, I said, Mom, you know what? I'm a mother and I have a daughter 52 years old. I said, but there are days and times when I need mothering, when I really need it. I've needed it for a very long time, from 20s, 30s. I needed my mother to say, come and let me mother you and let me share the disappointments or the letdowns. They always want to share the up times, but it's the heartaches and the disappointments sometimes. And I was always criticized, well, you didn't have to do it that way. Well, you live and you learn. But no, it just, forgive me if I'm being really too simplistic, it just works so well for me. And I just have a world of people that care about me. When they see me, they light up. I don't visit. They don't visit me. I have a world of friends, but I'm really a recluse.
So I guess in bringing this all together, I just look at forgiveness as a gift for myself too.
Look at forgiveness as a seed that we have been planted. And once it's planted, it grows. And when it grows, you kind of really reflect in the seed or the plant that it produces, and you like, wow, this is really terrific. And other people, we're just so happy about it. But you can't let your joy be stolen. I am who I am, and I refuse to change. I refuse to change for my children. I refuse to change for my mom. I refuse to change for my husband. I have to be me. I remember me at 14. I was the same kid at 14 that I am now. I did things like Civil Air Patrol, volunteer in hospitals, any place that I could give of myself and help and do for people. I volunteer at the Veterans Hospital. I've had some real experiences at the Veterans Hospital, just reaching out. And the guys, I worked in the pharmacy, and the gentleman would come up and say, oh, we need more like people down here like you. I didn't do anything. I just give you the proper information, and I help you if you're stumbling. But you cannot be so into yourself, or can I say self-righteous, that you cannot feel another person's electric pain, because that's really what it is.
So I want to thank you for
taking the
time to talk to us. And I want to thank you for changing my life, for coming to me to that day, reaching out and allowing me to then take your suggestion and learn that happiness can come from my action and forgiveness of somebody.
Well, Lois, I'm going to say this to close the show. You had it in you all the time.
Thank you.
Just had to have the desire to bring it forth. And you were challenged, and you graduated. You arrived. And that's the beauty of it. That's the glow on your face, that you realize you have arrived. You've reached a point in your life where you can say, wow, I did that, so I can do it again. And it did not cost me anything but to hold up my head and take on the courage and be the adult and the loving person that I am.
Well, thank you.
Because you are.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for taking the time to speak to me.
You are very welcome.
I appreciate it all.
It may not need to be on the recording, but I do love you, Lola Chin.
I love you too. And I wish everybody listening a very happy 2017.
And a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
On behalf of Integrity in Action, we want to thank you for listening to Integrity Action with Lois Shulman. Join us monthly the third Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. For more information on guests, your host Lois Shulman, please visit BodyMindSpiritRadio.com and visit the Integrity in Action show page. And until next time, good night.